people say.
Amen. You may take your seat. Amen. What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I come to you this morning saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll have a couple of our men work our way from front to back in just a moment in case we're missing some Bibles. Today we continue our Christmas series, Christ, the Heart of Christmas. And today's message is called A Heart of Joy. We need to have joy in Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
If you happened to stop by our home last night, you saw a celebration of great joy in the pastor's home as we just had such a wonderful time. And after the evening was over, and we were assessing the damage. And Miss Ruth Ann and my daughter, they got some of that I guess it's pain-relieving cream, you know, that you're supposed to rub on the anything that's sore. But I'm not quite certain that you're supposed to pour it in a bucket and stick your feet in it. But we have recovered, and what a great evening it is. And it gives us great joy knowing that our patio still needs to be picked up and our youngest grandson, Brian, is still in town. But please, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. If you have the Word of God, whether it's in printed or digital format, all over the sanctuary, please hold it up in the air over your head. There we go. Now, we're trying a little bit of different lighting today. And so we're keeping some of the lights down just to try something new. But Aaron is under strict instructions that if he notices anybody nodding off, that we will turn the lights up in that area only. Hopefully we have a spotlight for that. We can have joy in our Christmas season, amen. And as Christians, we should have exceeding abundant joy in our lives. You know, last week, as we looked at the message from last week, the last week's message was the story of love. And it was all about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you look back, if you would, quickly at verse 13 and 14 before we bring up today's passages. In verse 13 and 14 it said, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What an act of great love the Lord showed in sending His messengers to declare that the Savior had come. Looking now today at today's passage, verses 15 through 18, if you would please follow along. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. We have 4 points today. And our first point as we look at this heart of joy of the Lord, of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, is we will see in verse 15, a joyful commendation. A joyful commendation. Now, some of these are going to be awkwardly worded. I am terribly sorry about that, but I got stuck on everything leading with a C, so we're just going to go with it. But we see a joyful commendation. In verse 15, it reads, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Commendation can mean many things, but in this case, the word that we're going to use is recommendation. We see a joyful recommendation. And as we look at this verse for just a moment, let's look and see at exactly what is being said in the Word of God. Looking at exactly what has happened. God's angels, who in the previous passages came with a declaration of the arrival of Jesus Christ, they have now departed. If you look at the passage, it says they've departed and they've gone back into heaven. In other words, God's messengers have delivered God's message that the Savior has arrived in the town of David. The town of David, as we all know from our scriptures, is the city of Bethlehem. As prophesied in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we discussed that last week. Amen? Just amen it, act like you remember. Many times I'll have folks send me a text during the week and say, Pastor, I just really, really, really enjoyed your message this past Sunday. And I make sure I never ask, really, which part exactly did you enjoy? But you know what? Our goal is that when we leave here, we get something from the Word of God. Amen? We know that the Word of God never returns void. And that God will place a nugget in your heart so that as you go through your life, at some point, that nugget from today's passage will be declared to your heart and to your mind. And it'll be exceedingly important for you that day. So they've been told of Bethlehem, as prophesied in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And they say, the angel has said, you can find the Savior in a manger in swaddling clothes. Then they declared glory to God, peace, and goodwill toward men. And now we talked about that last week. The peace that they declared, the goodwill towards men, is very unique in how the words are framed. It means that when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, that you are now, excuse me, at peace with God the Father. You are no longer at war with God. You are at peace. And therefore, because you are at peace toward God, He has only goodwill for you. Isn't that good to know? So the things that we go through, God has goodwill towards you in those moments. Now, does everything that we go through, is it enjoyable? Of course not. We are all going through difficult times at different parts of our lives. Amen? Now, I saw Miss Anita last night. And she's got an inflamed sciatic nerve, and it's just terrible for her. And I pointed my finger at her last night when she was leaving. I said, no PowerPoint for you. I want you to know how much authority I have. And because if you look back there, you'll find Miss Anita back there. She just dropped down and she's hiding from us, but that's all right. We know she's back there. Don't ever think your pastor's not going to notice when you serve. And don't you ever think God's not going to notice. Amen? Amen. Down here in the second row over here to my left, right here, is Miss Latima. She has been serving in the children's ministry for many, many years. I want you to know that is not a visitor to our church today. We all know who she is. We know who she serves. Amen? So what did these shepherds not do? Because this is important. Look closely at the text. The angels did not order the shepherds to go. They declared to them that they should. The Word of God declares who Jesus Christ is, friends. But the decision on whether or not to receive Jesus Christ as Lord is yours and yours alone. It's every person's personal decision on whether or not to receive Jesus Christ. Whether you're sitting here in the sanctuary or you're watching on the internet or watching a DVD at some point later on. You know, it is so critically important that we know this, that this decision is a personal decision for you. I cannot make that decision for you. Because God has revealed Himself. He has made Himself known. He's revealed His character. He's revealed His purposes. He's revealed His plans. And He's revealed His ways to the entire world. How God does this is by speaking to people. Really, Pastor, the Lord speaks to us? Absolutely, He speaks to us. The Psalms say that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. How you can look at the heavens and not realize that there is a Creator? If you've ever seen a baby born, you know that there is a God. There is simply a Lord that has allowed this to happen. God speaks to people. God speaks to people through His Word, the Bible. God speaks to people to the world through prayer. That is why it's so critically important that I say so often that when you pray, please spend as much time listening as you do speaking. God wants to speak to your heart. God speaks to us through the circumstances of life. God will get your attention. And there, if you're a stiff-necked Christian who finds it difficult to bend your knees, God will help you do that. And there's many different ways that he can do that. Sometimes it requires breaking the knees. I remember many years ago, before I had my knee surgeries, we had a time of prayer at the altar. And I was commenting to my wife, Miss Ruth Ann, that really bothered my knees, to get down. And I was looking for some other way to do this, but it really bothered my knees to do that. She said, perhaps you need more practice. So I didn't find any lightness there on that one. But God speaks to us through His prayer. He speaks to us through the circumstances of life. God speaks to people through the church and through God's people. Listen, friends, we all know that we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? But we also know that it is not us that saves people. It is the Lord that does the saving. Our job is to share the message. It's their job on whether or not they receive Christ. So when we share the gospel message, we have just placed a jewel in the crown of our lives. We've been obedient to God. And God will speak to His church and God's people. God will even send His personal emissaries, like we saw in the previous passage, His angels, and speak through them. And remember from last week, you can recognize God's messengers because God's messengers always point to God. Look what God has done in my life. Look what the Lord has done in this world. Look at the incredible miracle that Christ has done through my life, through the life of my father, through the life of my daughter, through the life of my friends. Look at what God has done. Now, let's look at verse 15 again. So it was when the angels had gone away from heaven, from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. The angel's message has been delivered. The shepherds discuss what has happened, and a decision has been reached. They are of one accord. Amen? They are of one accord. The Lord has spoken to them all through His messengers. Friends, that is why it is so critically important that a church body be of one accord. That they be a gospel message church. That is another reason why I say that when I preach, that you have your Bibles open in front of you. Because the same Holy Spirit that speaks to me speaks to you. And we want the truth of God's Word to go through your lives. So a decision is reached. They say, let us go see what the Lord has made known to us. You didn't see a committee. You didn't see a deacon board. You didn't see a vote. They said clearly, let us go and see what the Lord has made known to us. That word us there means us all. Amen? Amen. So don't miss that. Don't miss the beautiful obedience of God's people there. Let us go because God has asked us to go. Let us go where God has told us to go. Let us look for what God has called us to look for. That's why I mention it every so often. And we're going to reveal the final number today during announcements of what the final tally was for our new location fundraiser during last month's get-together. But that is why I say, be in prayer about where God wants us to go. If you see a place, make it known to myself and Miss Jamie and our other leaders. Do what I've done. As you're driving down the street, if you see a place that looks like you believe God has called us to, get out of your car, park, and go prayer walk that property. See what the Lord has done. See what God will do to answer His children's prayers. First, we saw a joyful commendation. Now, we see a joyful commotion. A joyful commotion. Looking at verse 16. By the way, the fan keeps blowing my pages open over here. If it's a little chilly in the house in the back, that's because the front air conditioner, the breaker, has broken. The air conditioner is fine, but we now have a breaker that's broken. So it's pretty warm up here on the stage. This was not some ploy to get people sit closer to where it was warmer. And all God's people said. Looking at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. We see a joyful commotion. I love it when God's people get excited about the things of God. Amen? And in case you weren't there last night at our home, we had a joyful commotion. We had a great time. The time of singing, how great was that, church? That was amazing. And I'll have a bunch of DVDs for you folks. I was going to try to burn a bunch of them last night, but I'll have a bunch of DVDs of those same songs that you can put on your DVDs at home to sing. So we see this joyful commotion. So having made a decision to go, glory be to God, they went with haste. They went with haste. To put it bluntly, they exercised some faith. They exercised some faith. Well, Pastor Larry, it's easy to exercise when angels of heaven declare things. Not always. Not always. Some people are still disobedient. So they exercised a little faith, and they found exactly what they were told they were going to find there by God's messengers, the angels. In the city of David, they find the child, and they find it in a manger, and it's in the swaddling clothes. What reward did these shepherds receive? What reward did they get for their obedience? Everyone loves a reward, amen? Don't you like rewards? Alana, don't you like it when you get rewarded for something? Amen. She got on some cute glasses this morning, guys. I like those glasses. But what reward were the shepherds given? Friends, they had the incredible privilege to be the very first people of all of mankind, other than Mary and Joseph, to personally witness the newborn Messiah. Can you imagine being there? Transport yourself for a moment into that stable. Guys, the shepherds heard. The shepherds believed. The shepherds were obedient. The shepherds went and they received the reward for their obedience. Can you imagine the scene in the stable? First, they see the husband of Mary, Joseph. And Joseph, despite any personal misgivings, had cared for Mary and safely delivered her to where God commanded. How much faith did Joseph have to have? Flipping your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 1 quickly, please. Matthew chapter 1. It's to your left. On my Bible, it is, let's see here, page 843. I'm not sure what page it is on yours. Look at Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. If you're there, please say amen. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about those things, can you imagine that? While the thought was in his brain, the Lord took care of it. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. The word there is Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, that's the prophet Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until they had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a godly man. What a godly man Joseph was. What a righteous man he was to trust to God's plan. Amen? So, the shepherds, back to Luke chapter 2. The shepherds, are there, and they see Joseph, who despite any personal misgivings, has cared for Mary. He's done what he's been commanded to do. Second, the shepherds see Mary. They're looking at the stable, and they see this young girl here, probably around the age of 14 or so. She must have been exhausted. She must have been totally exhausted from the trip, from just being in the stable, from delivering the child. And third, the shepherds see the baby Jesus exactly as promised by the angels. I wonder what the shepherds thought. Have you ever thought about that? I wonder what the shepherds thought. You know, God's Word is absolutely perfect. Amen? Everything it says is true, but sometimes it leaves out some details we'd like to get. Give me the details. See, I get that from my wife all the time. She'll say, I saw you speaking to the visitor. I didn't have a chance to get there and speak before they walked out to the service. What were their names? Oh, that was Bill and Katie. Where are they from? Blank look. Are they new to the area? Blank look. See, I'm the big idea guy. I got their names. She's the detail person. And all of our ladies said, amen. Amen. The guys will get you the name if you're fortunate. Amen. Scripture does not record any specific conversations between them and the parents, but let's just imagine for a moment the conversations that must have taken place, the conversations that we would have as just regular people going through life and visiting someone that's just had a child. What do you suppose Joseph said when the shepherds congratulated the new father? Yeah, quiet moment there, huh? What do you suppose Joseph said? I'm certain he told them the story from Matthew chapter 1. I suspect they would have believed Joseph, that he was visited by an angel. By the way, Joseph said, I was visited by an angel. And the shepherds could have said, you know how Christians are. One angel. We had the host of heaven. We had the host of heaven appear to us. They had witnessed a heavenly host. So I'm certain they believed that part of Joseph's story. I'm sure they believed Joseph. What do you suppose Mary thought, other than just wanting to rest while she laid there? Guys, just leave. I'm worn out. Did the shepherds listen to her story about Gabriel's visit with wide eyes? She did, after all, have Joseph and the angels to back her up. She had that to back her up. Or, while the shepherds watched, did she reach down, as every mother I've ever seen, and reassure herself by tucking the baby in, by settling the baby, by checking the baby to make sure that it's okay? Did they watch as she glanced down at the baby's face? Did Mary think, this is God I've been trusted with? This is God. How much of the whole story did the shepherds receive from Joseph and Mary? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would walk on water? Mary, did you know He'd save our sons and daughter? Mary, did you know He'd give sight to the blind? He'd calm the storm? Mary, did you know that when you kissed your baby's face, you kissed the face of God? Mary, did you know that the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame will walk again, and the dead will rise up unto heaven? Mary, did you know? I get chills, and I'm warm up here just thinking about that. Did Joseph ever take his son outside and count the stars and they actually counted them? What do you suppose, or how do you suppose Mary and Joseph felt when they would be doing their duty as parents and sit with that child in the evening of the day and read the scriptures that he wrote? Mary, did you know? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this shepherd girl? Then, after all of this, in this joyful commotion, did Joseph and Mary and the shepherds in that stable bow down and worship the child in the manger? I expect the answer is yes. Amen. Why? Because of our next point. We just saw a joyful commendation, a joyful commotion, and now we will see a joyful conversation. A joyful conversation. Looking, if you will, please, at verse 17 in the book of Luke. Verse 17, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Friends, every Christian sitting here today can tell you one undeniable truth. You cannot see Jesus. You cannot meet the risen Savior and remain the same as you were. You simply cannot do that. It changes you fundamentally. You simply must share with people. You must tell people about what God has done in you. Once again, let's look at the progression of God's plan and action here. The shepherds have received specific revelation and very specific instructions from God's messengers. They were obedient and found exactly what they've been promised that they would find. They found a Savior, an infant Savior, but it's a Savior. They haven't seen any miracles. Now think about this. They have seen no miracles other than the angelic host in the fields. They haven't heard any teaching by Jesus Christ. They certainly have no concept of Calvary. They have no way of knowing that this baby that they're looking at here will grow up to fulfill every single prophecy about Messiah in Scripture. They have no New Testament telling them all about the gospel message, which I pointed out to you many times in 1 Corinthians 15. The shepherds have no idea of any of that. But they do know one thing. They have seen the Savior that God promised, and they simply cannot keep it to themselves. You cannot keep your faith to yourself, Christians. You must declare the Word of the Lord. You must declare it. And I've said many times that if the world hates us enough to say that if you keep declaring Jesus Christ, we'll throw you in jail, then to jail we must go. Maybe the jailer needs to get saved. Amen? I mean, I'd like to turn some of you guys loose on them. I'd like to set you guys and some of you folks in that kind of arena. I'd like to take that war room group of prayer ladies that I have and turn them loose in a prison. I'd love to see that. Those guys wouldn't stand a chance because they declare the truth of the Word of God. They call down the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will touch their pastor and give their pastor God's Word, not the pastor's words. Amen? That's what we're talking about here. That they do these things. Verse 17 records three things. It records where they shared the truth of Christ. It records what they shared about the truth of Christ. And it shared where they shared the truth of Christ. First, when? When did they share the truth of Christ? They shared the truth. What does it say there? They went and they made known widely. It means that it says they went. In other words, that word went there is immediately went upon their way. They immediately after they had seen and received the truth themselves. In other words, they had a personal experience with Jesus Christ because receiving Christ is a personal experience. It's done personally for you. Children, young people, you will not receive Jesus Christ because your parents are church or come to this church. No one will receive Christ because their parents come to this church, because they attend church, because they read the Bibles, because they pray. You receive Jesus, you will become Christians when you personally receive Jesus Christ as Lord. You must confess your sins. You must believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, that He is the Son of God. And so what happened is they immediately went and shared. What they shared was what had been revealed to them. Nothing else. Listen, don't wing it when you share Jesus Christ, guys. Simply share what has been revealed in the truth of the Word of God. I stay out of big time trouble by simply speaking the truth of the Word of God. Somebody comes and asks me my advice on something. In the old days, I used to try to be a good guy and got in so much trouble trying to rationalize and reason things. Now I simply quote Scripture. What does God's Word say about that? Follow the Word of God. Guys, they just told the truth about Jesus. Where did they share it? It says widely. That is a Greek word, diagnosiro, which is, it's an unusual Greek word, which means to broadcast everywhere, to make known thoroughly, or to quote Ralph Cramden from the Honeymooners in the TV show many years ago, they had big mouths about Jesus. big mouth about Jesus Christ. They went and they would tell, it says that they made it known thoroughly. Thoroughly. What's that mean? In other words, they would go tell everyone, everything, everywhere, the full truth of what they had learned and seen that day. They told people all of the story. What? Wait a minute, preacher. They told them about the angels? Yes. They told them about the Father? Yes. They told them about the Virgin Mary, the Mother? Yes. They told them about the Savior baby? Yes. You know, Christians these days seem to have a problem sharing what they know about their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be bold. The children, when I was a children's pastor, they can tell you the one thing I said to them every single week. Pray boldly. Read the Word of God boldly. Sing boldly. Share Jesus Christ boldly. Because that's what we are called to do. Amen. We must get away from living in fear because what we share may not be politically correct. That has nothing to do with it. The person of Jesus Christ is not a denominational issue. It's not a Baptist. It's not a Presbyterian. It is not a denominational issue. Scripture is very clear about who He is. The Scripture is very clear about who we are. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26, it says that in the city of Antioch, we were first called Christians there. Christians. That means that Christ in you. They will know you are Christians by your love. They will know that you are Christians by the hope you have. They will know you are Christians by the peace in your heart. They will know you are Christians by the joy you exhibit to the world. Jesus Christ is infectious. He's infected with life. And when you touch Jesus Christ and Christ touch you, He doesn't get what you have. You get what He has. You get that eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I got a testimony on that. I was about to give my own. Living Hope Church, this is very important. We are to share the full truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere. The Great Commission does not say, pastors, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. It does not say deacons, go. It does not say elders, go. It does not say Sunday school teachers, go. It does not say prayer team warriors, go. It says, hey, guys, go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your friends, your marching orders have nothing to do with anything else other than we are to go and share the truth of God's good news. Amen? Okay, so first we saw a joyful commendation. Then we saw a joyful commotion. Then we just discussed a joyful conversation. And finally we come to a joyful concession. And this is another point where I would like to apologize because I needed another C real bad right here. But let's look again at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 18. If you were there, please say amen. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. That's the final thing I would like to share today. The shepherds told the people what they had seen. And the people that they've told are wondering and marveling at the account of that night's events. In other words, they clearly accept the eyewitness accounts of the shepherds. Remember, it says shepherds were in the field. And they clearly, what they're saying has been accepted. Remember the shepherds I talked about? The shepherds were not highly regarded by society. The shepherds were the smelly guys. They had coarse language. They had coarse actions. They were not readily accepted at any of the town's better establishments. They were shepherds. They could not keep the Mosaic law. They could not keep any of the legalistic laws that were kept. They couldn't go to the Sabbath. After all, sheep don't know it's a Sabbath. Amen? But the excitement that they had, the declaration that they made, everything made known to everyone, everything that they had heard. They simply declared it, and people accepted it. God spoke through the eyewitness accounts of the shepherds. God spoke to the angels, and these shepherds were obedient and responded to His plan and His will. What was God's will? What was God's instructions? Go and find the Savior. Now listen to me. If you're sitting here in this sanctuary, if you're watching on the internet, I have read my Bible from the table of contents to the book of maps. I believe it from A to Z. Every single word in there I believe is absolute truth. And I've found so many wonderful things in Scripture. But let me tell you what I've not found. I have never found where someone turned to the Lord, where someone turned to Jesus Christ, and God said no. He says, come and receive my Son as Savior. And so if you're sitting here today, all you need to do is receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. If you're watching on the internet or listening to a DVD or a CD audio that someone gave you, or you have our app and you're watching on that, you simply need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, to accept Him as your risen Savior, to accept Him as the Savior of your sins. Go and find the Savior. And when you have found Him and believed on Him, tell others. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Folks, the Christmas message is the salvation message. The Christmas message is the salvation message. God has a plan. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's plan includes you, regular everyday folks. And accepting God's plan is reason for praise. You are to rejoice and tell everyone else about this Savior. Looking in your Bibles, if you would, please. Look back at verse 10. If you're there, say amen. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. This is going to be good. Because now we're going to tie together a few things as we prepare to close. If you're at verse 10, please say amen. Amen. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And all God's people said, amen. What a joy-filled night. What a God. What a Savior. What a holy night. Oh, holy night. What a holy, joy-filled light night. I end today's message as I began, saying grace of the Father and the peace found only in His Son, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. May that be multiplied in your lives. And all of God's children said,
thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.